I was in a flight simulator today that makes me a pilot.
Y'all, I hate to tell you, this has made him worse.
The flight simulator?
Yeah, he came back and he was like, I could never be a pilot, and there's a B, and he's like, but I'm pretty sure I could fly a prop plane.
Where was the simulator?
So this is the simulator in the Delta Museum. For $400, you can pay for an hour of flight time at the Delta Museum flight simulator. It's a 737-200. They don't fly them anymore, but it's a very realistic simulator, like to the point where you can feel your landing gear on landing hit separately, right? You feel like wow. Nose, tail, mm-hmm. right? Not in that order, because I didn't fuck up that bad.
Creatively.
It's called landing fakey. It's cool.
string together a combo if you do that.
The landing with the big twist!
You can keep your landing going, and then you can take off again and like do a Rayleigh on your wing. And...
The X Games just never understood that you were ahead of your time.
Tony Hawk
tried to land in the half pipe.
I need it so bad! I'm so glad we're recording right now.
Tony Hawk's Flight Simulator would have the sickest tunes to absolutely crash and kill 300 passengers.
It's like the Bad Religion soundtrack is like broken up by you're coming in way too fast.
Yeah,
just all those D.B. Cooper sketches all those D.B. Cooper sketches, like, hey, I finally know who that looks like.
Pilot, please turn down the fucking Millen Colin.
Pull up.
So we all love Operation Ivy. We need you to focus.
So why was your takeaway that you couldn't be a pilot, but you could fly a prop plane, which, by the way, is being a pilot?
Pilot.
Oh, okay.
Yes, the whole quote was, boy, I could never do that. But like one of them dinky
there
prop
were two
planes.
But what if I could?
Yeah.
Brother, I got that dinky prop plane.
So that's how good. Many dollars did you say?
$400.
Did you know Microsoft Flight Simulator is free on Game Pass?
So this is for a reason.
Okay.
It turns out that we've kind of been looking into trying to like figure out the science of like how hard would it be for a normal person to actually land a plane after that Twitter thread went around. And it turns out that airlines get really nervous when you start calling around and ask them how hard it is for a person to land
to incapacitate a pilot.
I'm not judging, because this is clearly a work investment regardless. But
I understand this, but like Delta PR was understandably cagey about... You know, we wanted to interview pilots about this instead, but they wouldn't let us.
So Delta is really being gatekeepers about this.
That's right. They're trying to pretend like it's real hard.
I mean, look at Spencer. I wouldn't let him in an airplane cockpit, but
that's right.
But fortunately,
I want to see something cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brother, you got something cool. I almost put it off the runway in Kino.
The flight simulator guy was like, you're lucky I let you do this. The other guy who's here makes everybody fly to Birmingham.
Yeah, one of the instructors is like, bitch, we're going to Birmingham. I was like,
you're starting on a commuter flight.
No, seriously, he makes
Which Birmingham?
The good one.
Yeah, no.
Can you go Birmingham to Birmingham? Ooh. How much does that cost?
Let's go to Birmingham to Birmingham. No, he make you do it in real time.
I'm going to do it at SR-71. See how fast.
Yeah. My guy was like, okay, let's skip like the cruising around and we'll get to like
landing. And here's the band
SR-71
to accompany.
Oh, it's not cheap to fly between. It's actually not as bad as I thought.
Other Birmingham has an airport?
Yeah. You can fly between them for, I don't know, $830? That doesn't seem too bad.
Come on. You'd be crazy not to.
You got to make some stops.
Let me tell you something. I had a game I played with my elder son. We were looking on the app, and he goes, hey, we were arguing about something. He goes, yeah, you're just going to ship me off to, like, South Africa or something. You're just going to, like, you're that mad.
He would do fine in South Africa.
And I was like, I am that mad. Let's see how much it would cost to send you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just see.
Priority.
And I got to tell you.
Is this why you're learning how to fly a prop plane so you can prop plane your son and leave him in another country?
So I was looking and I was like, what's the furthest we can send him and how much would be the most expensive flight? And brother, I got to tell you, I think air flight has gotten too cheap. Because I was like, man.
This is the one thing that's too cheap.
Yeah, I was like, getting from here to Mongolia should cost more than that. You know, like people shouldn't be able to go, oh, I'm just going to go to Tokyo.
Emily,
it seems like you need more on the table for that. You
Emily
need
just
more.
Just bought a round trip flight to Orlando and back on spur of the moment for like $80.
Yeah, exactly. You should have to think a lot more before you go to Orlando.
Correct. It should. Like, I found a flight from here to Auckland for like $900. And I thought, man, you know what? Going all the way to New Zealand should take more forethought and investment than, I don't know, I could, you know, buy a couple of nice pairs of pants and a jacket, or I could go to New Zealand. It should not be, those two should not be equivalent expenses.
Well, you, I think the problem is less the expense and more that before air travel, it was more like, all right, you can get there. It's going to take 4 months, buddy. I hope you're ready to give out 4 months to go see New Zealand.
Now it's like, are you free Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool.
I am shocked that you found a flight to Auckland for $900 and you're not in Auckland right now.
Well, they don't have they don't have the flight simulator.
Oh, that's what it was.
That's right, yeah. I'm going to be like Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden. I'm flying my plane. That's it. Welcome to Flight 666. I'm in charge.
Do you think that you want the prices to become more prohibitive because that will force people to fly only on your airline that you have established?
Mid-South Airlines is looking to expand globally, is what I'm saying.
Global South Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Looking to become Global Southern Airways, where y'all really does mean all.
Spencer's
going to
be furious when he finds out it's not actually summer there all year round.
You know, that's not true, and we're going to prove it. That's it. Eternal Summer Airlines. We just fly from one summer to another, right? Like, that's all we do.
Global Mid Airlines.
Welcome to the Shutdown Full Cast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. I am joined, as always, by Ryan Nanny, Jason Kirk, Holly Anderson, and Michael Serber on the ones and twos. I give it 3 seconds before Ryan interrupts me. Three, two.
Actually, I have a question.
Oh, from the left.
Hey, everybody, it's Ryan
and
here.
And that's when the attack comes. Not from the front, but from the side.
Whatever,
I have to ask, I sent Ryan a DM yesterday and he didn't answer, so I'm going to ask him right now. How many military spouses do you think have been wounded by their significant others trying to stage a reunion video?
Okay.
Because we were talking about airplanes.
Yeah.
And the other night I saw this just flying through TikTok at 2:30 in the morning, as we do now. And it was this lady who, it was a very clever stunt. It was this army wife and mom of three who was on a flight somewhere, and her husband had managed to get home early and had arranged with the airline to get a seat like three rows behind her. And, he got the pilot to make an announcement of like, you know, hey folks, we got this, that, and the other active duty military personnel on board. We also have, Ashley, who's an army wife. And her husband wanted to say special hello, and she's like, oh my God, everyone claps. And then her husband sneaks up behind her on the airplane. You've been gone for 12 months. Do you know she hasn't been taking Krav Maga?
Okay.
Because a lot of these involve, like, I don't react to surprises well. And I just wonder how many military reunion videos we don't see end with like a near disemboweling of the surprise spouse.
Do you think that's what happened with the Alaska Airlines door? Do you think that was a military spouse trying to get on the plane?
I'm asking.
Get off the plane.
This was supposed to be
just
super cute.
I'm just asking questions. This was supposed to be a gender reveal. Like we hear about gender reveal disasters all the time. Because I guess because they involve more people, and maybe spouse reunions are supposed to be more intimate. But so many of them are taped and you never see one that goes wrong.
I think the other thing is we decided in the most American fashion that gender reveals should involve explosives. And it's hard, not impossible. We are a great country full of innovative minds. but it's hard to come up with ways.
It's hard
to
ship every living troop home in a cake.
It's just harder to come up with a way to make explosives part of your military family reunion.
I'm just saying, he snuck up behind her on an air, like somebody puts their hands on you from behind on an airplane.
Yeah.
Like I'm throwing an
elbow. Was she seated?
Yeah.
That helps things a little.
But like I'm throwing an elbow before my eyes are even all the way open.
Sure.
People don't like surprises.
No.
This is one thing that I've learned as an adult is that people, there are some people who are generally like, oh, initial shock. Ah, the savor of the moment.
And I'm an
there are some people who just
this.
Stay fucked up for days off this. Like, how could you have lied to me? That's some people's response to surprises I've learned.
Do you know what the key is to surround yourself with the right personnel? When we had the Peisman ceremony in New York that one time, and I got there kind of late. And Stephen Godfrey grabs me by the elbow and he pulls me under the stairs. And he's like, I have to tell you something. And I said, what? And he said, there's a list of thank yous coming up that includes your name. And I wanted to tell you ahead of time because I know nothing scares you more than an unguarded moment of human emotion. And I was like, thank you. And that's friendship. That is allyship is what that is. And I got through it.
Yeah.
I got through having a room full of people turn their heads to me for a second.
I don't think there are blogger reunions with their families. I don't think anybody's like, oh, you've been podcasting for weeks.
You're back from
I'm
the
so
pixel mines.
Papa.
Also, man,
oh,
you
should film a reunion video for your husband who's been in the basement playing Tekken for 3 weeks.
I'm That's sorry. Kuma's just such a great character. I had to get the bear through the game.
That
right,
really
you know that
idea.
There's a bear. You know that there's a bear in Tekken, right?
I do know that.
Let's tell the audience many facts about this bear.
Kuma's big move. Kuma can wear sunglasses. If you advance in the game to a point, he's gonna wear overalls and a big hat because he's a farmer. He has a big ass, and one of his big weapons is an ass-like bump. Like it's magnificent. It might be the greatest video game ever made. You hit someone with a fish. That's one of your special moves, is to hit someone with a salmon.
Love it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I think all video games should have play as bear as an option.
That can wear sunglasses.
Is this bear friends or enemies with King the Jaguar?
The Jaguar.
Leopard, whatever.
I think it's a Jaguar.
A Jaguar?
Yeah.
I do not know canonically if that is the case.
I need the lore.
I know, no. There is Tekken lore, and apparently it's absolutely insane.
Oh, please call in.
Anything that's been going on for a long time has way too much lore.
I know there's Tekken lore because, and I think I sent Spencer this, there's a video before this most recent Tekken came out of Brian Cox, celebrated actor who just got done with Succession, doing like a 12-minute recap of the main Tekken storyline, for not just for fun.
This is the only reason I know there's a new Tekken game.
Yes, like as a paid promotion. I'm like, Brian Cox, I respect that Brian Cox, much like Shaq, is like all money spends. All money absolutely spent.
I'm Brian Cox, and I'm never going broke again.
No, but
me
Brian
and
Cox
young boy.
Is, hang on, in defense momentarily of Brian Cox, he's not out here doing insurance for the general. It's fucking McDonald's.
That's true.
Like,
yes.
He is, I would put him more in like a Peyton Manning category. Like, he is ubiquitous, but it is all marquee shit, right?
Marquee for college students.
I would love to hear him say icy hot. That's not to say that I don't want to see him expand up and down the spectrum.
I can't see most of the other cast members of Succession being like, yes, I will be in the
They're not better
video.
Than him.
They're not. They're worse.
Oh, but they think they are. Oh.
I actually would like Kieran Culkin's Tekken video, if I'm being honest.
I'm Jeremy Strong, and this is Keytruda.
Matthew McFadden actually does have an amazing sense of humor in real life. I think he would do it.
Okay.
Like it's not an actor doing like The Last of Us. It's
right.
An actor doing glorified Virtua Fighter.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
the game is called Among Us.
Where is the This Is Us cast when we need them?
Mm-hmm. I'm Paul Giamatti for Soul Calibur.
Are you guys aware?
I want it. As Astaroth.
I'm sorry. This is an emergency. Are you aware that Paul Giamatti has a podcast? Would you like to know what it's called? It's called Chin Wag with Paul Giamatti. Hi, I'm Paul Giamatti, and this is Chin Wag with Paul. No one has ever been more themselves in real life than Paul Giamatti, with the possible exception of Stanley Tucci.
I'm Patrick Stewart, and I am here today to tell you about the wonders of Street Fighter.
Did you see?
It's Daniel Day-Lewis doing Dead or Alive.
See, that's it. That's it. Yeah. Daniel Day-Lewis would never do this shit.
It's the cast of the actual Street Fighter movie, is what it is.
Yes. Yeah. I would like to see those people review Succession.
Yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Are all of you wearing camel? You're all washed out.
Olivia Colman for Far Cry 7.
National treasure, yeah. Olivia Colman.
Yeah.
Yeah, just her being like, this time everyone's evil.
Far
no.
Cry.
Yeah. Far Cry.
Any grown adult talking about Far Cry is, yes, that's it. That's the one.
But you have to get a British person because you need them to put the emphasis on the wrong words in two-word phrases. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is Elden Ring.
Yeah. The other thing I thought, by the way, on the surprise is that I don't ever want a surprise from a military spouse to a military spouse because it could be like, oh my God, don't look at the credit card statement. Don't. I've made mistakes.
Buddy,
made mistakes, Dale.
That's all spouses.
No.
That's not military specific in any way.
Yeah. This is my husband went downstairs for 3 weeks to play Tekken, but what he doesn't know is I got a Crate and Barrel credit card while he was gone.
Oh no.
The deal was too good.
Honey, this is what you're fighting for. My right to get a Crate and Barrel credit. That's freedom. That's what you're out there for.
How many KitchenAid mixer bowls do you need? Shut up, Kyle.
You don't want to find out the hard way.
Thank you.
So it's the Super Bowl week.
The big game.
I'm sorry.
We don't have
the big game.
Big game.
All right. I did hear an amazing Super Bowl ad while I was getting my hair cut today.
Go. Lean in, first of all. Let's see it.
Yeah.
Just nice and clean because I want to look good for the live show, which is coming up.
Nice.
It was on the radio. It was for a suntan parlor. And the whole thing was like, the big game's coming up. You're going to have friends over. You want to look your best. Come get a free suntan from, like, a free spray tan.
Oh,
from us.
No.
And I'm like, who the fuck needs to have, like, their tan looking awesome to have indoor? A Super Bowl party is the most indoor thing you can do.
Was this ad maybe created and cut when Philly was still in the mix?
Good question.
Maybe. And admittedly, the game is in Las Vegas, which feels very spray tanny in its own way. But, like, I have never thought, like, oh, I'm going to or hosting a Super Bowl party. God, my tan is a fucking mess.
Damn, did you see Ryan? He looks so tan. He just looked, man, he looked like a, you know what? I get it because you want to look like a football. You're like, who loves football? Me. I'm the exact color of one after this glorious spray tan I gave myself.
I feel like you look like you've been outside all winter is not a compliment.
It's a statement of concern.
Look like you've been out there,
exactly.
Buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like,
you okay?
I hope you were able to accomplish things.
This is, again, like boomer brain, where you go, well, what's an indicator of health? You go, well, it looks like he's been outside in the sun, getting a radiation burn across his entire body for health. Like, that's good for you. It means you have leisure time. It means you've been playing golf to secure the Johnson account.
I wanted to bring up the point. Okay, we've created a new server. What's the name of that cycling video game you create?
Pro Cycling Manager.
Right, where you like you're not a cyclist but a manager of a cycling squad. So I was thinking about Brock Purdy, and I was thinking about how weird and nebulous the term game manager is, and then I thought about how there are all different kinds of managers at all different kinds of jobs. And then I thought about a football manager simulation where it's like all the managers I had at the mall.
Yeah. So like actual managers, like actual inept managers.
But it's game manager in a different sense of like, do you sleep with the new hire?
Basically like manager.
Are you going to let the two? Like at the movie theater where I worked after high school, the biggest decision facing our manager, like to call him a game manager would not be a compliment. It was like, do I let the two grannies who run the box office continue to sell weed out of the box office?
Could we call the game like retail manager?
There are so many different kinds of managers, and I wanted to honor them, I guess.
What if we call it manager the game?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
So So when we call Brock Purdy a game manager, he is in fact a game manager, but not a game manager in the football cliche sense, but more
right.
how managers actually perform
when
in the
I call
real
you
world.
A game manager, I mean that you are never, ever getting out of this racetrack station.
Do you skim 5% of the grocery?
Do all your
tab?
Clothes just kind of smell like the hot dog roller?
You know embezzlement is not a management skill, right?
How is it not?
Once you're good at it,
I mean,
it is.
Can't really be done by non-management.
Based Ryan. On the Jaguars asking a sportsbook for $20 million back,
you know what? I've come around completely on this since this story was announced. If you missed it, it was the Jags had an employee who poured how many millions of dollars into FanDuel and lost $22 million.
This was a finance manager who stole some $22 million and lost most of it on sports bets with FanDuel.
And I thought this was stupid, but I actually kind of respect now that the Jaguars went to FanDuel and asked for it back, because you got to try.
I have seen this man described as possibly FanDuel's worst better.
Impressive.
But ahead of his time, maybe. Let's
like,
call
and I want to be clear that the person with the worst math skills on FanDuel had a finance job with an NFL team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're so smart, Ryan. It's a meritocracy.
Yeah, but
if you get into those front offices, you're obviously big brain material.
Barely an NFL team.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I think the modifier there is not finance major, it's NFL team.
It's Jaguars.
That's a mitigating factor.
Yeah. So wait, which of your previous managers does Brock Purdy most remind you of?
I have to think of somebody who
I think I'm gonna have to let the game tell that story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it feels like it's somebody who's really steady, like 3 or 4 days a week, and mm-hmm, then one day mm-hmm. a week is just whoa, what's going on? What are we getting here?
Like, oh man, like, his wife did not drop him off this morning. You know some shit went down at at Applebee's last night.
He got here on a school bus. What
Brandon,
the fuck?
Brandon, man, we told you about the Dollaritas, man.
I feel like the most chaotic manager thing is like, wait, you didn't go home. You stayed here working all night. Like I had a manager who pulled a triple.
Oh, the sad cat manager.
That was not on
yeah.
the schedule. Worked and it was like, you just fucked up payroll for the whole week, got in huge trouble for it, but he was like, God, I got so much done. And it was like, mm-hmm. dude, it's gonna be a weird weekend.
Zoinks.
So like the Brock Purdy thing is, he feels to me the ultimate of the, and I don't mean this as any sort of a complaint or pejorative, of the NFL people don't know much about college football thing. It's fine. It's two big sports. They don't need to watch everything. It's fine.
That's right.
But with Brock Purdy, there's Asa this
Kirk's
sense
opinions
of
do not represent those
we
of
knew so much about him coming in that we're more prepared for his chaotic moments. When Brock Purdy does some shit, it's like, oh, that's my boy. I know that guy. I love that guy. I've seen him do this for years. But when NFL people see him not being game manager-y, it's like erroneous, discard data, does not fit. We applied game manager tag.
But the Brock Purdy equivalent of that was in the NFC Championship game when he managed to cinch the game with his legs, which nobody expected him to do. And which
noted downhill scrambling threat,
Brock
Purdy.
Which I think for anybody who had watched him in college didn't come as quite a surprise, not because he was a prolific rusher, but because I think Brock Purdy, more than any athlete of the moment, embraces what I would call either the Jordan Clarkson rule or the Robbie Callen maxim. We'll call it the Callen
maxim,
which is that any athlete is a threat as long as they at one point in the game say, it's my name time, right? Like, and Brock Purdy is the guy who...
Wait. Is he saying Brock or Purdy or both?
He
it's
would
Brock
say,
Clock, bitch.
Yeah. The guy
it's
who.
Brocktober. It's January. What are you talking about?
There's only one.
Winners only know 1 month. That's Brocktober.
Welcome to the Brock.
Yo, it's pretty close to time.
I want a Brock right now.
Oh,
well,
God damn it.
God. That's too. Yeah. That's no, more. Now you're doing Boomer.
I'll cut that.
That's the one we built toward. That was it. That's the one.
The one in which we left the end of the cul-de-sac and careened directly into the neighbor's garage door.
Mm-hmm.
That one I didn't keep on the runway. Bad landing. Write that down.
My favorite thing about Brock Purdy, and I just looked this up because I thought it was true, and it is. So most, I don't know, let's say NBA players, if you took, what is Brock Purdy? Let's say he's the 30th best NFL player in the league. Not quarterback, but just say like he's number 30 of all players. I don't know if that's true, but let's just say it is. If you took the 30th best NBA player and you just time traveled them back to 1993, they would probably be about the same. Maybe they'd be a little bit higher than where they were, but like basketball has not changed so drastically that you could say whoever the 30th best NBA player would like dominate the league. There were too many good players back then that you would say like, well, you know, he'd have to go up against Jordan. He'd have to go up against Patrick Ewing, blah, 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 blah. You could do that. If you took Brock Purdy's stats, and he only played 16 games, so there's not a 17th game in here messing things up, and you put him back in 1993 when when Steve Young is playing, when John Elway is playing, when like when Warren Moon is playing really well. Like, there are a lot of good quarterbacks in the league. Troy Aikman's still kicking around doing his thing. Jim Kelly's there. Like, but he would, far and away, he would be number one in passing yards. He would be number one in passing touchdowns. Number one in adjusted yards per attempt. Number one in quarterback rating. He would just like blow everybody out of water. He would 100% be the best quarterback in football. And you're like, well, the rules are different. Maybe Brock Purdy would just get folded into a tiny sack of human bones because quarterbacks weren't as respected back then. But it is very funny to me that somebody who, lots of people are just like, he's a game manager, he's not actually good, Brock Purdy sucks, puts up these numbers that not that long ago would have just been like, holy shit, this is the quarterback of the generation. This is the greatest man to ever play this position ever in sports.
It's like, I wonder if Dan Marino that one year actually was this. Like, was Dan Marino supposed to be in our timeline and we accidentally put him in the 80s?
Oh, no,
Marino's stats are like, this is fake. Yes. This is not, and his team sucks. I don't know how he's doing this.
But can you imagine how badly Dan Marino's like would have been viewed if he had played in social media NFL? Everybody would have been like,
loser.
Can't
like, win the, I don't give a shit that he threw for 95,000 yards this year.
100% would have just been constantly slandered, constantly like he would have been the Kirk Cousins of his time.
Him and Elway. Oh, Elway can't drag a sack of potatoes for a roster to the title. He's a loser.
Marino's the funniest one to me because it feels like somebody, I don't know if in technology there are these moments where somebody goes, yeah, they made this car back in 1950 that got 120 miles a gallon and it went 400 miles an hour.
But the government suppressed it because
the government didn't want you to have it.
No.
Dan Marino in like 1980s. Mid-80s Dan Marino is like some ancient alien shit. Like, wow, we have no idea.
Yeah.
There's no real explanation for this. We don't know how they figured that out back then.
I do make that guy's exact face when I remember he went to Pitt.
We don't want that. We want Jerome Bettis running for 70 yards and 4 touchdowns, goddammit.
That's right. What's his first blocker? His head! The fullback is second. Who's blocking for
Why?
Him here?
Hate.
The sheer urge to hate and kill. It's the 12th blocker on all of our plays.
God, how true.
That's your Super Bowl preview, folks.
That's it.
Take the Steelers and the points.
Do you know what? Wait, hang on. We haven't talked about the most important Super Bowl storyline of the week, which for once happened in time for us to record. And I'm just thankful for it because I think we can all agree we're on a pretty unprecedented streak of shit happening on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
And us having to wait 6 days to deal through it. But no, an NFL player was attacked by a coyote yesterday, and now we get to talk about it.
We have not identified the player yet, correct?
I feel like we have a pretty safe guess. It's Russell Wilson.
I can speak to that coyote. He and I are friends.
Hail and well met.
He 1,000% tried to bring it like a matcha latte.
Buddy, you look like you need some healing.
Can I tell you more about the vegan lifestyle? Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he perceives the coyote as like a character in an Aesop's fable. And he's like, what lesson are you personifying?
Yeah. What leadership lesson can I take from
the
this?
The coyote's like, you don't even go here.
What would your courage do right now? Yeah.
I will show courage by befriending you. Ow!
Every Russell Wilson moment has the Baldur's Gate like option menu, right?
But except there's only like one.
Yeah, and he's rolling straight twos on this shit. Like he had like engage in leadership lesson with Coyote, and he rolled a two.
Leadership Coyote check.
must roll a 30.
Yeah, that's Russell Wilson for like the last 5 years, maybe 6 years.
My only disappointment with the Coyote story is how did. I think Pat Mahomes is the person, but how did one notable NFL player not show up to media day with an eye patch and refuse to take questions about it? Like,
God,
once you hear
it.
A coyote attack, somebody has to make it a prank.
Where
right?
is? Yeah, we need a Jimmy Butler.
This yes. is what Gronk was for.
That mm-hmm. is what Gronk is for, or for becoming a coyote.
Ah, mm. Gronk! Bit by Gronk. Mm-hmm. Gronk attack. Gronk attack it's two.
The safest player for it to happen to would have been Kadarius Toney because coyotes are a rabies risk, but he can't catch anything.
Can't so. Catch a damn thing.
Which yeah. is that's a skill in its own right.
Sure,
that's
the most. I love that the most dangerous runner in the open field in the NFL has to take the ball off a tee. Like he has to get the ball in a package delivered to him with signature.
Again, would have thrived in 1993. Would have
how
he would have been a running back.
There's no more no fear T-shirt name than Kadarius too.
That's true.
That's like true. That's not to return us right back to Salt Lake City, but that's an X Games name.
Mm. Yeah, with the fakie, the McFakie.
I don't really want to talk about anything except for Tony Hawk's Flight Simulator. I'm sorry.
Gonna make $1 billion with this. Tony Hawk's so excited.
I love that. So this means, you know, you boot up Flight Simulator and it's like, would you like to fly over Stonehenge? Would you like to fly over the Great Wall? Right? This game is like, you know, we're flying over. First of all, everything, like half of it's Orlando or like Reno or... Yeah. Orange County mm-hmm. or yep. Yeah, here's Phoenix. An abandoned abandoned amusement park.
We're flying over the swimming pool.
Do you want to fly over Michigan State Stadium? It's grimy. It's industrial.
Oh,
it's too depressing.
I don't know why I felt bad for them. Just
too
now,
depressing for Tony Hawk Flight Simulator.
Yeah, no. Do not bring down the party of Tony Hawk's Flight Simulator with Michigan State Athletics.
Michigan State Stadium, you have to collect HITLER.
You're flying over and you're like, oh.
I'm not going down there. I don't know what they're going to.
I know that isn't who I think it is on that board.
I don't know what they got going on down there. I'm going to turn up anti-flag a little bit louder.
Yeah.
Just so they know I disagree with what's ever on that scoreboard.
Exactly. I got this anti-fascist punk going. Let's roll.
Your construction smells of corruption. Thanks.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
I am also mildly interested in this when it comes to the Super Bowl. Which is, can we really start to? How am I going to fight everybody who hates Patrick Mahomes just for being good? Because I've never been on the side of this. I've usually been the person who's like, that guy's good. I hate him. Hate him that he's this good. for this long. And I can't hate Patrick Mahomes at all.
No, like, you've been on the, this is like, this is your long one. Like, you've been on the record about this guy since he was a sophomore.
Right.
There's absolutely no turning back for you. Sorry.
I feel like, is there this thing where people feel like they're supposed to hate the Chiefs, I guess?
It feels like this is the point where, like, I think it's because the Patriots did this and now it's
well,
like,
that's exactly what
we're...
I mean.
Right.
Like, do people feel compelled to repeat that because the Chiefs have won?
Right.
Is like, there are legit reasons if you don't like the chop. Great. You know, it sucks.
Is there a societal reason outside of that for Chiefs fatigued? Like, do we feel obligated to perform Chiefs fatigue?
I have a theory.
Go on.
Yeah.
Good. We need one.
I think part and not all of what explains Chiefs and Pat Mahomes' fatigue is that he is doing this not to the traditional titans of the league. I think if you saw, like, oh my God, to go back to the same example, the Chiefs have beaten the Steelers in the AFC Championship fucking again. Like, or if they were dominating the late Tom Brady Patriots or something like that, I think people would be much more on their side. But they keep knocking out these, like, teams that I think we're like, oh, it would be fun if they could climb the mountaintop once. Like, it would be fun if Josh Allen and the Bills could get to the Super Bowl. It would be fun if the we're talking about the Bills, the Bengals, the Ravens are kind of an edge case, but I think, like, Lamar Jackson.
They're in there.
Lamar Jackson is different than the fucking Dilfer Ravens.
Lamar by himself. Like, Lamar by himself gets it there, I think.
Yes.
So it's like the Super Bowl itself is becoming anticlimactic because we all know good and well that the Chiefs have already beaten better teams.
And it's like, it keeps, Pat Mahomes keeps crushing all these other interesting storylines. And I think that is part of what is causing this fatigue. And it's not, like, that's his job. But it reminds me a little bit of, like, and people didn't care about it, which maybe is where Spencer is at. But, like, a lot of the Western Conference teams that the Jordan era Bulls team.
That's what I was about to ask Cerber about. Yeah. Did this happen?
I remember being I was very bummed when they beat the Sonics. I loved that Sonics team. I was pretty bummed when they beat the Suns because I was like, that Suns squad had, like, Charles Barkley was fun to watch and had a bunch of, like, fun players and shit.
And then they beat the Jazz and we were like, oh, that rocks.
That was fun.
I mean, yeah, that last Bulls championship was the closest I've ever been to. Yeah, no, I love Godzilla.
I hope he stomps a little harder. I mean, obviously also with this, there's the tight end knows a woman, and therefore that is reason for a lot of people to
I don't know, Fed, that you either have to root for famous girlfriend or gay culture.
Oh boy,
Taylor Swift or Nancy Pelosi?
The eternal battle. That's the secret Tekken battle people don't talk about.
No, the secret Tekken battle people don't talk about is Taylor Swift versus Kamala Harris, which I have already seen playing out in some of the more unsavory corners of God's favorite website.
God.
Oh.
But yeah, Cerber,
there are dumber philosophical debates than ours being had right now.
I don't remember there being a lot of, like, widespread national Jordan fatigue when the Bulls were.
But also, we were. Well, but shit, Cerber's younger than we were. So
I was a kid. I was a kid, and I was also a Bulls fan in South Carolina, the Carolinas.
Yes.
Everyone loved Michael Jordan here.
Yeah.
Like, the Jordan brand made it different, too. Like,
sure.
It was just, his shit was cool. You know?
I think that's just how basketball fandom works. Like, you know, we grew up hearing about, like, oh, the Celtics were this and the Lakers were that. And then we had Jordan. And then if you're a bit younger than us, you had Kobe. If you're a bit younger than that, you had LeBron. And then you had Steph. And, like, every one of these, that was instantly the most popular, beloved. Like, basketball fans are – the negative way to say it would be bandwagoners. I don't really care either way. Mm-hmm. And then football fans go too hard in the other direction, I guess.
Yeah,
but maybe. With all the other examples you listed, people got sick of them. Like, people got sick of Kobe.
People hate LeBron.
Yes.
I don't remember people being sick of Jordan. I don't, like, Steph. Who are Steph's haters?
Oh, there are plenty. Like, maybe it's
Steph Curry can't shoot. No,
you know what? You know what it is? It's that I think we're exposed to many more opinions now.
People
did
hate the Warriors when Durant joined.
Yeah,
but
I think there were probably people who were like, I'm fucking sick of Michael Jordan. But Twitter didn't exist, so I didn't know any of them, and it was fine.
You had to go to those particular basement bars,
right,
to hear these opinions.
Right. Like, the NFL really, like, plays the parody thing up so much.
That's part
and,
of
like,
it.
And, like, really, really wants everybody to believe, like, your team can do this. And the teams that we're talking about, specifically the Bengals and Bills, these were teams that were, for a decade plus, sad sack losers who couldn't do shit. And the fact that, mm-hmm. and I know the Bengals have made a Super Bowl, and I know they, you know, they had to get past the Chiefs to do it, but the fact that, like, it's weird, especially because the Chiefs were also in this category, but I think it fucks with people when they see these unstoppable dynasties that, like, kind of fuck with that idea of anybody, it's anybody's league every year.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because in the NFL, it is presented as every year might be your turn. In the NBA, you know good and fucking well it's 5 to 10 teams have a shot.
100%.
Your team is there to trade away someone at the deadline.
Right.
For, you know, the funniest one here, it might be baseball, where the teams that are hated the most are teams that don't win. Like, whoever spends the most money gets hated, and they don't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So who gives a shit? Mm-hmm. Well, that's that might change going forward.
Yeah, go Mets, baby.
Go Mets, baby.
Well, not them. I mean, I think the Dodgers might have broken through the other side of that continuum, but if they don't make the playoffs, we officially have the funniest team of all time.
Yeah, but let's put it this way. If you say, and my understanding is largely historical and not contemporary, but based on fives alone, I would say, if you say, hey, man, the Dodgers suck, that is a judgment against the Dodgers made independently about a squad that its fans assume is going to be good. If I say the Mets fucking suck, that's a statement of cultural relevance that extends across decades and means
symbol,
so many different things.
A symbol of New York pride, yes.
Right, yes. Fucking right, they suck. Assholes. Worked.
How'd you know what's written on my grandfather's headstone?
That means I'm fucking tough because I like them.
That's right. They suck. The more they suck, the more I love them.
I'm burning off every Mets game I watch is burning off sin. Everyone.
The more they suck, the tougher I am. I hope they suck harder.
There's a weird thing that happens because football is like by far the more authoritarian sport, I think, than the NBA.
You think?
I think you're right there.
I do agree that you're onto something there.
I don't think you're out on the limb you're out on. I think it'll hold.
It is like, sturdy. Yeah.
It is definitely more of a fascist sport, right?
Sure.
Like there's a way more fascist in the fan base.
We're with you, big guy.
Okay. So.
I don't know. Could you keep building up?
Based on that, it's hilarious to
Friendship
me though.
Analysis, professor.
That when it comes to dynasties, NBA fans to me are way more fascist. Right? They're
We kneel
before Emperor Jordan.
That's just the Celtics.
This is the thing that people forget about.
Well, yeah, if the Celtics win, the whole shit changes. That is true. If the Celtics win too, fuck this, I'm out.
The Celtics is where we remember a very important lesson that fascism takes two. It takes the strong man and the worshiper of the strong man.
Cool fascism is cool. Celtics fascism is the Celtics.
Did you see him smash those Sumerians? Emperor Jordan's awesome.
So it feels like in this range, college football is pretty much baseball, where it's like, the whole sport's rigged in Ohio State's favor. When was their last title? Settle down.
Listen, what's more likely, that college football isn't rigged, or that it is rigged, but we're bad at it?
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Only these four teams should win. Ah, Team 7 won. Fuck.
Honestly, college football is kind of a combination of all of them, I guess. Like, everyone hates every team. Clemson, they're adorable. Yay. They've been in the title game twice. I hate them.
Dabo's the stupidest man in the world.
And obviously, their coach was an additional factor there. But even if he'd been warm and lovable, still, Clemson would have become a villain.
We had that conversation recently enough to have Cerber involved in it. We were like, hey, Cerber, how long do you think it'll be before we hate Clemson fans? Ha ha ha.
If Washington is back in the title game next year, they fucking suck. I hate them.
I'm so sick of those Seattle blue bloods.
I have made this argument, so I'm being a hypocrite from the start, but the whole they're taking up a spot thing, that's my favorite. That's my favorite argument. Absolutely love it.
What the hell were you going to do with it?
Yeah, exactly. Y'all weren't doing shit with it.
I do like, I think it was it? Yes, it was James Cook, Buffalo Bills and former Georgia running back, who, like, I think an important part of Georgia taking on Alabama's place in the conference, not just as sort of like the pardon the pun, the top dog, but also sort of their psychological place is is things like James Cook saying, not that the college football playoff knew that, which he did say this. He said the college football playoff knew Nick Saban was retiring, and that's why Alabama got the spot. But I think more importantly, that Georgia was robbed of winning three straight national titles and would have won. Here's the quote. We were supposed to be in this year. If Georgia is in the playoffs this year, we win it all. And I think they don't want to see us go back to back to back. The most Alabama thing you can do is insist that no matter what actually happened, no matter what game you actually lost, you would have won the national championship.
Yes.
Ignore all results. Ignore everything that actually mattered to these decisions and say, nah, we would have won and they were scared of us. That's the final piece in the Georgia is now Bama puzzle, and I'd like to congratulate Georgia on a ride.
You're just like us.
The three teams you hear that from every year, three fan bases, and sometimes teams, are Bama, Georgia, and Ohio State.
Correct.
Every single playoff, it's, oh, well, we won our bowl game, so clearly retroactively we should have been in.
We would have done it, but my shoulder was acting up.
They didn't care so much about me.
We would have done it, but the fucking forward flow of time.
The physical universe we occupy.
They forced us to play in the SEC title game, an unfair advantage that other teams didn't have to participate in. That's why
such as the one that beat us in that game.
Yeah, it's true. I love it. Both of these things are somehow true in that logic, which is, hey, man, that game proves we're good because we would have beaten a tough opponent, a damn tough opponent, a super tough opponent that only the tougher of the toughest, the super tough, could have done. And you're going, okay, so you guys would have won that game. Oh, easily would have happened.
But
would have been done.
I will say I far prefer the, like, fuck you, we would have won the national title that we weren't invited to play for. I far prefer that over the nobody loves us and everything would think so.
100%. Yeah, it's not even close. At least one of those is an ethos. It's stupid, but it's an ethos.
I would much rather you brag about how fucking great and awesome you are than be like, everyone thinks we're the worst football team in the world.
No, man, I'm from East Tennessee. I love stupid ethoses. Bring it on. Y'all come right up on this porch. I got a seat for you.
People said that you know how to tie our shoes.
This is the haters' veranda, and there is room for all on this swing.
I like it's like nobody believes in us still.
Nobody believes that we exist. Our existence is doubted by humans.
Nobody believed in us, and they still don't.
Do you guys feel like Michigan is already heading that way? And I mean now?
Yeah.
Instant pivot.
I mean, yes.
In instant February?
Yeah. Yes, but I think in this case, that's actually Michigan.
It's a reversion.
That's no, Michigan. That's Michigan wrangling with their own self-doubt.
Oh, I thought you were saying that was actually true.
Oh, no.
No. It's like after maybe 7 weeks or so of, oh, we're so fucking cool.
Yeah, the Lutheranism is kicking back in.
Mm-hmm. No, these are the fat pants. This is like Michigan got slim. Michigan dropped
Michigan's
a bunch of weight.
Fat pants, and it walked, victory.
And it walked right back in the like closet. And they're like, well, I better clean them out. The fat pants were in the corner like, hey, buddy, remember me? We were friends. Come on, friend.
Why don't you
put me on? Strong. Put on the fat pants.
My fat pants don't believe in me.
I believe in you, buddy. Just get those tips. Sit down in that chair of self-doubt.
This is how college football works.
What do you need shoes for? You're not going anywhere.
That's right. You're with me.
I love our Super
pants.
Bowl preview.
We're going to play some Tekken, buddy.
Brian Cox is here.
Hello. These are the fat pants.
Fat pants.
Bah, 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 bah. I do ads for McDonald's, too. You know you can get it delivered. The fat pants are like, oh, hell yeah, buddy. We got plans.
They got burgers. Michigan people. Oh. I hear you love those. Your burgers guy left, so maybe you need some replacement burgers.
We're going to get you back to Big Bear status like Kuma. That's right. That is my sense. I think that on the whole, if you're going to get fatigued of a team, don't even claim to have a reason. Don't. Like, no, none of your best arguments or your best arguers do. None. Just be like, no, I hate them. I got a problem with them. That's it.
There's a thing where everyone, and I don't know how long this has really been a trend and what all the causes are. I'm guessing the internet's a huge part of it. Everyone thinks all of their personal preferences have to have a moral explanation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like that song because it's, and you come up with 19 political philosophical reasons for why you don't like the song. You just don't like the song. It's okay to do this with football teams too. And also, they do political things. You can hate those. I just mean, also, it's like, not funnier, everything has to be explained.
Too, in a conversation.
I like the Bills like because they're ethically harvested.
This Josh Allen was brought to you from an organic farm.
This anyway, Josh Allen is allowed to eat trash wherever he wants.
It's refreshing, to just straight up. Everybody should pick a team to just straight up. Just like, do you guys listen to Jeff Teague's podcast at all? Have you?
No.
Mm-hmm. The basketball player?
Yes.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Fine Atlanta export Jeff Teague, who he was asked about the time when he shoved LeBron.
Yeah.
And they asked him why, and he was like, because we were losing.
Yeah, he cuts through a lot of bullshit.
Yeah. Like, he has to be a national leader in media in saying the thing. And yeah, we could all do worse than to adopt a leaf.
He's very, very good at that. Additionally, he'll also say things. He'll also admit things that I have seen very few athletes do, which is like, I didn't have shit to back up what I said. He'll be like apparently he went up to LeBron and LeBron was like, what are you going to do about it? And he's like, 34 a night. I'm going to give you 34 a night. And they're like, how'd you do? And he's like, oh man, I had like 15 a night.
Do you remember when Florida was good and we went to the Florida Vanderbilt game in Nashville and they were down by like 28 points and there was this row of Vandy guys in front of us who were standing up the whole time like, four more onside kicks and we're back in this thing, fuckers, the whole game. Yeah. I love them and I hope they're all successful orthodontists today.
That is the correct attitude.
It's such a beautiful energy.
Just do that.
All the other reasons for disliking Patrick Mahomes are fine. Like, he's on TV too much. I don't know. Yeah, sure.
I don't like his brother. Man, if you're going to judge people.
I don't think Pat likes his brother either, dude. It's okay.
Yeah. Nobody likes his brother. It's not his fault.
Let's Aaron Rodgers, come on down.
Like, I will admit, I do appreciate that the Chiefs decided, like, yeah, we beat Baltimore. We put Baltimore in their stadium for our costumed fan who's on trial for bank robbery. We were emulating.
I saw somebody tie this whole thing together, and it's now my most ardent wish for national healing that Taylor Swift is like, hey, I started wearing a wolf costume 3 years ago and robbing banks, and I probably should have told you guys about that sooner, but that's actually how Trav and I met.
Mm-hmm. I am Chief Somalic. Listen, that'd be a banger of an album.
Make it happen, Tay.
Poet tortured for information about the whereabouts of
Chief Sahalik.
But then the alternative is to root for the 49ers, and nobody seems super excited about that either.
Poor Christian McCaffrey.
Like, what are you going to do? Pin your hopes on a Shanahan team? Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
Okay, how insane does it? How does it have to feel on the other hand? And let's just reach out to one of our former special boys to be Christian McCaffrey and to be who you are and to know that your Super Bowl loss is a foregone conclusion.
I'm not willing to go that far.
I feel sorry for precisely one person. Team.
It's a Shanahan team that just won their last two playoff games in extremely un-Shanahan fashion.
Oh.
There is no Shanahan fashion.
Are you saying that they might be positioned to overcome their inherent Shanahan attitude?
There's only one thing that can overcome a big brain genius.
Oh, brother.
And that's the simplicity of a three brain cell football genius who simply says,
this is where the
it's
other
Brock se- time,
this
baby.
Is where the other sense of manager comes back in. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So Brock is just just has the ability to focus, you brought a rock to a land party. Okay, I like it. All right. I can root for Brock. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm just saying I can.
Brock is the kind of manager who, if this were a restaurant, you'd look back and you go, oh man, manager Fred's on the grill. Does Fred know how to work the grill safely or has he been trained? No, but a couple people called out, so he's giving it a go. It's just happening. Did he lose a finger back there? Yeah, he doesn't know how to work the food processor. There's blood everywhere.
Yeah, that's the important thing. Is he has a positive attitude.
Mm-hmm. It's worked so far. No one knows if no one thinks it'll continue much longer. But
he brought taffy for everybody.
I just need manager Fred to hold down the grill for one shift.
It's
6:45 a.m. We got next shift coming in very soon. We're so close.
Look, it is a bad, unhealthy part of me is really tempted to root for San Francisco because it will break all of the people whose whole job is sports argument.
California-born liberal Ryan Nanny.
If they have to cope with Patrick Mahomes, who we think is maybe the greatest quarterback of all time, just lost to Brock Purdy in the Super Bowl.
So does that make Brock Purdy the new Eli Manning? Yes.
If only we had addressed retail theft in San Francisco.
Handsome, lovable idiot Brock Purdy.
Brock won the Super Bowl game despite all of the organized theft rings at Walgreens.
Then we get it.
Couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. We get Eli Brock commercials.
Yeah, I forget which side of this argument I started on. I'm
gonna fire them all.
I'm in a takes labyrinth.
Fire all takes. Release all takes.
Colin Cowherd was a feminist ally this week. We are all dizzy.
Anything can happen.
The Swifties have discovered Colin Cowherd.
That was, dude. Okay, watching. I want to address this for one moment. Watching Colin Cowherd's mentions fill up with young women calling him Silver Daddy.
Yes.
Was maybe worth every other grueling hour I've sat through this discourse.
It had to be a good week for him though, man. Because everybody I understand he's overpaid and he just does this shit.
I'm not saying a bad word about him now. Colin Cowherd is welcome on the veranda.
Yeah, but like the idea that Colin Cowherd, whose mentions have to be a toilet. Like his mentions have to be
for him.
Not now.
If I were
not now, no.
They're floral scented now.
Yeah, they're a bidet, bitch.
Between that and the person who was like, remember when everyone loved Jessica Simpson being part
what
of the cast?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That
was a very
disorienting week to be on.
You are 7 years old if you think that.
That person up there next to the one who was like the hot ones guy asked bad interview questions.
Twitter is back.
We're rational.
Yeah.
Listen,
Twitter's fucking back.
Do you know why? It's because I quit Blue Sky and brought all this energy back.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Came back with me. It's all right, folks. We're going to stick around until it's socially acceptable to tell each other to kill themselves again. Then America will be a relaxed and comfortable place to live.
Holly, did you leave Blue Sky because they finally opened it up, or did you do that before?
Oh, I did this like 2 months ago, and it was because I think I said this the week you weren't here. This is the year of the reply girl, and they're awful.
More lady prison.
Oh
guards.
No, I didn't say this on here. I said this on Hand in the Dirt. I talked about this on Hand in the Dirt. That's why. Mm. No, yeah, I have a Blue Sky account. I'm not there anymore. It sucks. I'm back where I belong, down here.
We need, listen, there's too many male Stalins. We need some female Stalins.
Maybe now that it's open to everybody.
Josie Stalin.
Maybe now that it's open to everybody, the more women prison guards vibe of Blue Sky will go down.
Mm.
But oh, Jesus. Do you know who did it best? It was the Gurgling Cod, who was like, it's like being in a group chat full of horny strangers who I respectfully, even if I were in the market, would not. And I think that's the best description of the experience that I had.
I think it's Twitter's G League. I think you should have to be called up.
Nah, there's money in the G League.
No, it's like Twitter's Mensa, but not in a derogatory brackets.
Derogatory. Yeah.
It's Twitter's gifted program.
I like it as a place to post. I don't ever read posts there. Mm-mm. Like I like replies, sure, but like it's for me, Blue Sky is more like a I don't know. Twitter's still the place to read posts.
Yeah. Sorry.
No better porn bots.
Listen, man. Porn bots are holding my likes down. Okay.
Okay, have you guys had that moment where a porn bot reminded you of a really fire tweet you had like 3 years ago?
Yeah, yeah. They surface content. It's great. Evergreen. That happened. That happened about a month ago, and I was like, you know what? I should probably reshare that in new context.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you, porn bot. You're very affirming.
Thank you, Rosie. You. Rosie, you did have a gift.
Rosie and company. Like, she has definitely brought the team of fellow robots.
Can we remake Edie Pablo, but with the names of all the sex? Rosie, two eyes. Rosie, three eyes. Alexi, three eyes.
Yeah, I
pussy in bio.
That's
thanks if for I see up, I
which sounds like something derogatory a Raiders fan would tweet. Mm-hmm.
Oh, listen. Ever since we changed our bios to speed characters and I put my pronouns are pop quiz and hot shot in my bio, no one has bothered me.
That's the power.
I built a lean-to for myself, an impenetrable lean-to upon the Twitter planes.
My politics are shoot the hostage.
Yep. Nothing but respect for my president, picture of Joe Morton.
Somebody sent me the Wikipedia page for the Chuck E. Cheese direct-to-video film.
Sure.
It's called Chuck E. Cheese and the Galaxy 5000.
Go on.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not going to read the whole plot because somebody put a lot of words into it, but it involves Chuck E. Cheese having a boy named Charlie Rocket come to him because he needs $50,000 to fix his aunt and uncle's tractor. And so Chuck E. Cheese and several of the other animals from the Chuck E. Cheese verse decide to enter some sort of intergalactic race where the prize is $50,000.
Wait a second.
Mm-hmm. It's on the planet Orion, which is not a thing.
Mm-mm.
that you know of.
Wait, this is Emmett Otter.
He's going to have to pay the taxes on that $50K.
That's right. It's like
35 after.
I'm going to hot pause Star Speeder.
I'm just gonna read this sentence. In the qualifying round, the ex-pilots inhale an energy-boosting substance called Zoom Gas before achieving a speed of Vega 2, which leaves the Songbird in the dust. When Chucky attempts it, he loses control at the final stretch through Dead Man's Canyon, and the team ends up finishing last.
Choked. Choke job. Doesn't have what it takes.
I don't know what this children's direct-to-video movie is where they're like, look at these cool space pilots doing whippets and winning.
I was thinking cocaine gas, but you know, yeah.
This movie is 62 minutes long. That's too
much. That's too much. 55 tops.
That's a brief film, though.
Yeah.
Mm. I would be relieved to see that on like a marquee runtime, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It has 8 songs in it. Apparently it's a musical. I understand the post-9/11 world is a hard one to live in, but so this came out in 1999 and it sucks.
What?
That's like 38 minutes of movie plus songs.
Yes.
That's how long are the songs? They have to be like 45 seconds. They could just be improvised.
Yeah, they're probably pretty close. Yeah.
And we're going to have a musical
next
number.
Next week we're going to improvise the Chuck E. Cheese musical.
Oh, hard pass.
Okay.
Oh, come on.
But it's the fucking Super Bowl.
We're celebrating Brock Purdy's greatest Super Bowl performance of all time.
It's how he wanted to be remembered.
I bet Brock Purdy does love Chuck E. Cheese.
We're going to be so inspired by Usher that we're going to sing.
Billy Joel is back and so is
Spencer. Oh, I forgot. Usher's a halftime.
What's your beef with Usher?
What's wrong with Usher? Did you see Usher? Okay.
This ought to be good.
Usher sucks.
What?
Sucks. What's you want me to give you? A reason?
What's
we
wrong
just did a
you?
Whole thing where you're like, I don't need a reason. I don't need a reason. Now,
fuck,
I know Usher.
Man.
Usher's not made for me, but Usher fucking sucks.
Well,
Pat Mahomes rules and Usher sucks.
Yeah. Usher wishes he was Ray J. He wishes he had that range.
Jesus.
Did y'all see Usher and Asia Wilson after they won the title and she told him to come to the parade?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, musically, he's not my thing. I get it. You can't see that video and not get it.
Do you not like any Usher songs, Spencer?
No.
Okay.
Not one.
Okay.
Not one.
Are you not from Atlanta?
Listen, this is my Atlanta treason. I do not like.
Oh, yeah. No, you were supposed to say, this is my confession.
God damn it.
Like,
get the reference.
One of the most repellent songs to ever make the charts.
Okay, I get it. This is because you never had to work as a high school or college student to have sex.
I also don't
think... It was just laid out for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Sex, that's clearly right. The issue. Sex came so easily and so naturally to you that you never needed any performance assistance. We see it,
ugh,
big guy.
Not again.
I know you're too humble.
Tennessee Lothario, Spencer Hall.
Turn down the fucking Usher. The room is already full.
The St. Pete sex pot, Spencer Hall.
You'd be paying child support to 15 different women until you'd be far too powerful. I see it.
I think
they play Love in
a lot of credit.
So here's the opening credits of Love in this Club, and he's like, I have to go.
Not again.
Lord, yeah, please, I don't want to make love in this club.
It's dirty in there.
Oh, God.
Floors are... Every idea Usher has is terrible. I just want
to
take it nice and slow. No, I'm amped up. I'm ready to go. I don't want that.
And I'm Spencer Hall in high school, and I have sex all the time.
That's right.
Oh.
Book it.
Wait, like the pizza hut program?
Are you counting
you
my
hate
boo?
Puckett too?
Are you counting my boo and songs you don't like?
Not by Ghost Town DJs, no. But yes. Usher's My Boo? Yeah, no.
Listen, there's no explanation for this that's not about you not having too powerful a dick game. I get it.
But Usher is not for me. I know that, mm-hmm. okay? Because I have seen Usher come out at a live show, okay? He came out for Beyonce pregame, came out for Beyonce's little opening act, which was basically just DJ Khaled running through his phone. Like, DJ Khaled would be like, oh, who's here? Usher, come on up here. And, like, Usher came up and, like, the room goes up, and it's just so many happy women. They're just so thrilled to see Usher.
And you hate that, don't you?
No. That's right.
Guest star Josh Pate here with us on Shutdown Fullcast. It
gets me every time.
My son this week
said, I think you're a misogynist. And I said, why? And he goes, because you're not a Taylor Swift fan.
Problematic.
What, his son?
I think it needs to be firmly established that while not a fan, I do not oppose, if that makes any sense.
You
I'm
also
like, cool.
need to friend.
Pick a side, coward.
Whereas Usher, you do oppose.
I should be allowed to not have an opinion about Taylor Swift other than,
of course.
I support a lot of the things that she does.
I'm generationally, I think, like 6 months past where I had to have been to catch that wave. Like, I own one of her albums, and I think I like two of her other songs. And everybody I know who's the slightest bit younger than me is completely in the tank. So I must have just barely missed it. But she's making so many of the worst people I know angry, and God, I love that.
There is a thing, and this is true of Taylor Swift and Brock Purdy, where, like,
wow,
we have entered a phase in which it's important, like, you must have the strongest possible opinion.
Mm-hmm.
There really is no middle ground anymore of just like, I think this is fine or eh. It's just like, no. You must decide that Brock Purdy is a trash fraud quarterback who doesn't actually know how to throw a football, or he's the greatest man in human history.
And also he's dating Travis.
I'd like to announce my sixth album, Game Manager.
That's it. I think the boldest take would be to have the Milquetoast take, to be like, yes, I believe he is okay.
That's Jason's. That's been Jason's approach for years.
Well, that's why he's the wisest of all of us.
That's true.
Only one of us is a hit author.
That's right.
That's a good point.
Shout out Kirkus Reviews.
Yeah, that's
Kirkus
right.
Reviews, which is real. Some.
No, that's like that's legitest of legit,
like,
man.
Every time I post it, someone's like, that has some of the same letters as your name. This is fake. I'm like, okay.
First of all, I was the first person.
Who the fuck said that?
I did. But
okay.
Just to get ahead of everybody else.
It was funny the first time.
Do
literally
you deny
the first
it?
Time. Yeah. Excuse me. Is my attorney here?
Do you deny?
Is my attorney Bud Elliott here?
What does
Kirkus mean? But church us. It was there. It's been waiting for
yeah.
Jason.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is
yeah.
his goddamn birthright.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
All right, so
this has been podcast business.
So you don't like Taylor Swift and you don't like Usher.
Oh God, this is great.
I'm not. It's not. It's Taylor.
You
Swift's
don't care about
thing.
Taylor Swift.
There it is. Yeah, yeah. That's it. Not my thing.
He's not for thing. You. It's fine.
Who would you prefer? Fine. Who would you prefer to do the halftime show though?
Oh man.
What if you swapped it out? Okay. What if Usher did the anthem and Reba got the halftime show?
What if we retroactively move Usher to Atlanta Super Bowl and give them Maroon 5.
Oh, that's much better. That's like
that's very Las
yeah.
Vegas. If we're
I'm going to be angry about this for the rest of my life.
It's no, because it's going to be a travesty for the rest of our lives, and it cannot be undone.
Right?
It's done.
They're never giving us
undone.
Another one of those until we build another fucking stadium.
No.
In 10 years.
No.
Yeah, 10 years. It is looking a little shaky.
It's a little rickety.
A little rusty around the gills.
Those little real birds nesting in that weird fucking bird's nest up in the concourse.
Mm-hmm. I would, you know what? I'm going to unite America. It's time for a Paramore Super Bowl show.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Thank you. Did you know that there is a push to have Paramore play WrestleMania? The ultimate.
The
ultimate. You don't deserve that.
The greatest cultural moment in the history of. If that happens, I'm
I can't believe they said white America doesn't
make
have
it.
Culture.
Exactly. Finally, we have a good rock band.
Yet, but if that happened,
Jason, we just actually managed to create the hypothetical condition of I don't know about Triple H. Involvement in potential human trafficking on one hand, Paramore concert at WrestleMania on the other.
Bayley brought back the inflatable balloon buddies, and Paramore played while she did it. So
you can stream Bianca's reality show on Peacock now. No, you really can.
Things that you don't have to make up.
Go Balls.
We didn't make up any of that.
I thought it would have been a complete layup to hire Las Vegas's only band, The Killers, to do the halftime show in Vegas.
Yeah.
They're like a stadium fucking rock band.
They're so Nevada.
And the video, like the viral moment that would have been Taylor Swift singing along to Mr. Brightside.
Oh, no,
on
no,
the
wait.
Broadcast.
No, they couldn't do that. But Taylor Swift singing along to Miss Atomic Bomb.
The sequel.
If you want
to
play, the real desert shit.
Yeah, like I don't know. Usher's cool.
I think to Jason's point, the Super Bowl doesn't usually like to go with regionalism. Like Bruce Springsteen.
Counterpoint: the LA Super Bowl. Okay, the LA Super Bowl just proved all
of
that.
The LA one is the exception.
Yes,
and I will fixate it on it forever.
The LA one should have set a standard going forward.
But like Bruce Springsteen played a Tampa Super Bowl. Tampa's kind of New Jersey.
That's Florida.
Yeah.
Jersey.
The best Super Bowl anthem that was not performed by Whitney was performed by the Dixie Chicks at a Tampa Super Bowl. I'm pretty sure it was. No, it was. It was the Bucks Raiders Super Bowl.
Prince played Miami.
Wherever
right?
that was.
Yes.
Prince in Miami was appropriate because of the rain.
Sure. Yeah,
like that was just an excuse for wet Prince.
But like Justin Timberlake played the Minneapolis Super
Bowl.
Was branding as a white guy at the time.
More mistakes have been made.
Mistakes have been made, but let's correct them now by giving Brandon Flowers the
let's
floor.
Let's correct
you're,
them
you're
now.
Not wrong.
By,
I'm just saying
by,
it's not what they want to do.
Editing the Wikipedia page for Atlanta Super Bowl to say it was nothing but Atlanta rappers.
Man,
50 Atlanta rappers.
Paul McCartney played the Jacksonville Super Bowl.
Fine. That's where they're moving.
Duval!
He brought the franchise home with him, probably.
Duval.
That is just, and it is the most NFL thing, though, because you go, what's the necessary cultural weight to get a local band justifiably at the halftime show? And they're like, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bloop, metropolitan population of larger than 7 million. That's it. Like, if they do it in New York, it would be nothing but New York artists. If they did it in Shanghai, they'd be like, I don't know, find Mr. Shanghai. Like, if they do it in Vegas, they're like, bleep, bloop, bloop, smaller, too small, get national. That's it. That's like, it's the most spreadsheet-brained league in the world.
No, I'm mad now that I'm thinking about this. I'm very mad at the non-killers.
So the Vegas thing, they could have gone with like people who are doing
residencies.
Yeah. Is Britney there still?
They could have. I mean,
Elton's
they could have
done,
even done. They could have even done old Vegas. Like, get Tony Bennett's ass up there.
Lady Gaga would come back if Tony
like, there's
Bennett's
no,
there.
It's,
problem with that.
Is he alive?
This is. I don't know, but I'm sure he would have managed.
He's fine. He'll be there.
People who have or currently or have recently done residencies: Adele, U2.
U2's right over there at that fucking at that Sphere thing.
Bruno Mars.
Not that I want any more U2 ever.
Christina Aguilera, Kelly Clarkson, Wu-Tang Clan.
Kelly.
Sure.
Wu-Tang Clan residency.
Kelly Clarkson featuring the Wu.
Do you know who could sing her way out of a fucking stadium? Is Kelly Clarkson. Like, she is such a better...
Sure, and Kelly Clarkson with the Wu-Tang Clan at U2, that is, in many ways, the perfect, like, Super Bowl brain.
Kelly Wu-Tang, there.
Like, that's how we did Super Bowl halftimes, like, 20 years ago, right?
Yes.
When it was, like, Kid Rock, Nelly, and what, right? It was just throw everything
and Gloria Estefan.
No, we did bowl games like this, too. Like, when I was dancing in the Orange Bowl, it was Fonzie, Leanne Womack, and like two other and two boy bands that I don't remember.
Wow. The Orange Bowl always goes suspiciously hard on the halftime show.
They kind of had to go hard because this was that Florida State Oklahoma game where they scored like 2 points. So
let's bring back Ashley Simpson.
Ashley Simpson went hard, okay?
Yeah.
You cannot fault the effort.
I mean, the effort was entertaining.
Bring back Jessica Simpson and let's see who gets mad now.
Yeah. He'd be pretty mad.
Come on, guys, boo louder. You know, put the little thermometers up
which,
there. Come
which
on.
Lady do you hate more?
Which lady do you want to cast into the lake of fire? Who are we going to burn? It Set is, her on fire.
Looking at everything that has happened to the Cowboys post Tony Romo and Jessica Simpson, it is very funny that for a brief moment people were like, "That's what's wrong with Dallas."
Yeah, just
this
her,
lady.
just one person.
Can I say something controversial?
This lady who's got a big butt.
It's no, not that big.
No, that's
it's really not that big.
No, it, oh, it was. It was that big. Was part of the criticism.
No. I get what you're saying. It was like big by like 2002 white
yes.
culture standards.
Yes.
We upgraded that standard, buddy.
American trucks.
It was big by lingering 1990s standards.
Yes.
Can I say something controversial and completely sort of out of left field?
On this show?
Is Tony Romo getting good at this?
He was really good, and then he stopped.
He got weird, but he's fine now.
I guess I've watched more NFL the past few weeks than I have in the past couple of years, and maybe it's because I'm comparing him to certain of his peers, but I feel like he got good at this while I wasn't looking.
He still has too many times when he breaks into existential crisis for me. Like every review,
I kind of love that though.
Every review, Tony Romo,
because you can tell that he's living it. You can tell, like I can tell that
epistemological challenges here are impossible to deal with.
I like that because I don't think he's faking it. I think he's genuinely distressed, and
sure,
I kind of love that.
It's strange. It remains a strange pairing with him and Jim Nantz.
It's a very strange energy, and I'm kind of drawn to it.
People are mad that Greg Olsen's getting pushed out of the first
line. He's good.
Greg
I'm mad
Olson's
at that too.
Good.
Like, for, who saw that coming?
For Tom Brady, who like we have no idea if he's going to be
having been a fan of Greg Olsen's hip hop career. I saw this.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, we're as day ones of the Seventh Floor.
I hope G-Reg finds his way to another gig.
Are people prepared for Fox to like shoehorn Tom Brady into the 2026 World Cup coverage? Because that shit's going
Jesus.
To happen.
Jesus.
They're 100%
no.
going to make
do you know
Tom
what this
Brady
is?
Do shit that nobody wants him to
do.
You
know what this is? They had us all staring at Alexi being like, boo, mm-hmm. while they were sneaking him up behind us.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be fucking, here's Tom Brady with Messi. Goats yep. in conversation.
Yes.
That type of shit.
Yes, here they are.
It will.
Here they
it would be so much
lit warehouse.
It would be so much better if they had Romo, because there would be a moment like, and the Uruguayan keeper has taken his pants off. He has lost his mind in the penalty shootout.
I don't know about
Romo
that,
go,
Jim.
Yeah, wow!
Yeah,
wow!
Oh, Jim, I don't think they're gonna like that.
I don't know if he'd hate it, and I don't know if he would see it as a demotion. But let's get Greg Olsen down to college. Can we have
Yeah, we need G-Rick back home.
Yeah.
Okay, here, let's
come on
make it,
home, G-Rick.
Let's make it. This is a term of my own personal invention. Let's make it. Let's do an era here. And what if we paired him with another like really pleasant surprise in the booth, like Jordan Rodgers?
Yeah, let's
who has also been like a complete shock at how like likable he is, given both his family and the fact that he is handsome.
I'm going to Serber, Eric Collins, the Hornets guy, the announcer, the guy who you might have heard on the UCF Baylor call.
Is he a secret
right?
full cast fan, or am I misremembering that?
I don't know.
One of those
not.
North Carolina guys is listening to this. If it's you, tell us.
But he's the guy who can achieve like liftoff in about 2 seconds on a broadcast. Like, like he is basically like if you gave. When the call gets real hot, he's basically like Bobby Hill on methamphetamines. Like, he's amazing. If you could get him paired up with Greg Olsen, that's my dream team. If you could get those two. You know, that and the Mark Jones RG3 combo, because that gets out of pocket fast.
Yeah. We're going to get some letters.
We'll get some letters. No. Are they the best at it? They're the best at what they do, and I feel real comfortable saying
that.
And
I like what they do.
I like what they do. I would listen to that. They called that Colorado State game. And those, they're exactly the people I want to call a 4-hour, 15-minute OT nest.
Maybe we're biased generationally because this is like the first wave of players who we covered as kids who are like aging into these jobs. But I feel like the future of broadcasting is in pretty safe hands with like the current generation that's coming up to push the crusties out.
That's probably true. I think play-by-play is still a hard thing, but I think as far as color,
and that's always going to be a hard fucking job.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I think color, man, do you know what the best innovation I saw this year was? Was when it was on SEC Network, which means it'll either never escape or it'll be ruined. But when they had Cole Kublik down diagramming, like telestrating on a whiteboard live during the game. Mm-hmm. Like it's so much more useful than having your standard play-by-play. Mm-hmm. And I wish they would expand it. The amount of time that has passed between the years when we were pitching from Grantland to have them do something for the title game besides two guys in a suit talking, and the years it took to actually implement that, make me think we won't see this before we're dead.
Spencer, share an opinion of someone else that you hate.
Yeah.
Not hate. I'm just like, I don't like, they come on the stage and I'm like, yeah, everybody has this.
Who else
person.
Can you not go around because of your powerful somebody, sexual aura? Mm-hmm.
Somebody comes on the stage and you just go, nah, just no. I mean,
I wish I had enough money to go to live shows of people I don't like, but I don't live like you.
Like if Big Sean,
Steely Dan halftime show. You want that?
Oh,
well, there's
no,
one problem.
Absolutely not.
I only see one problem there.
I think the excitement level would be unaffected. Like the overall energy level would be unaffected by current events with Steve Lee Dan. You know, like, I don't know. Big Sean was apparently, I don't know.
Oh, wow. Step Kanye, out on the Big Sean limb. Very brave there.
Kanye owed him money or something. He ended up like as a counterbalance, like 2 Chainz was too powerful on several tracks throughout the 2010s. So they always knew, they're like, oh, man, 2 Chainz is just killing them here. We need somebody to weigh this track down because otherwise it's not structurally sound. It'll just take right off. We need to, let's put Big Sean on here and he'll at least have 3 or 4 of the worst bars you've ever heard.
Wow.
On every verse. So yeah, Big Sean.
Impressive Big Sean hatred there.
I know. It's just not my thing.
Big Sean, come to the live show in Atlanta and confront Spencer.
Big Sean, beat up
sure.
Spencer.
Usher and Taylor
Usher,
Swift.
Usher, come show up and sex the live show.
We are sold out, but we will find room. Yep. For...
We'll find room
much
for
like
you.
Much like the inn, we will find you a manger.
Yeah, you cut it. Listen, Taylor Swift can cut a diss track on me. I'll give her 5 sheets of notebook paper, 6 or 7 if she needs it. I ain't reading all that. She can write it.
What the fuck, dude?
she writes many words. It's many words.
So do you.
Well, yeah.
I don't like this girl who writes songs with words in them.
You think I'm a fan of me? Come on.
You should be, buddy. Ooh. Everyone else is.
Ah. To hell with that.
Now we arrive at the real source of most hate.
No one's going to be a bigger hater than me.
Speaking of the live show, can we do a podcast business real quick?
Yep, real quick. Yeah. Let's do it.
Podcast business. Bum. It's a business. Bum. Podcast business. Bum. What a business. Bum. Podcast business. Bum. Let's go make some cash.
So here's another lightning round. We're only a week or two left in the Trevor Project fundraiser for my novel, which is so good that it has been recommended by Kirkus Reviews and Publishers Weekly and dozens of your favorite creators, and has won over a bunch of dudes who've told me, I usually only read nonfiction books about World War I, and it even brought Tom Ziller out of Twitter retirement. Thank you so much
to
everyone who's contributed.
That
a couple days ago, Tom Ziller tweeted
holy shit
about my freaking book. So yeah, the donation is on course to be at least 5 times the entire advance of the average publishing company's debut novel. Number is fantastic. We'll see how high it creeps. If you want maximum donation impact, buy a Pay What You Want ebook from shutdownfullbooks.com, or paperbacks and hardcovers are available everywhere. 2, for those asking about audiobook, I'll start thinking about that once February's busy stuff is out of the way. I would love to do it. It will not be in wacky comedy voice, so quit asking. It does not need any sound effects in order to be funny, and we'd both feel like huge perverts if I made you cry while doing Bobby Petrino voice. 3,
boing.
Our sold out live show in Atlanta on February 16th is sold out unless you are Taylor Swift or Usher. It's at the Monday Night Garage. Doors at 6. Please plan to get there well before 7. Yes, we'll post the recording as an episode. 4, not collecting any more religion disasters after Friday, February 9th. The submission link is in the comment section of the latest post on my Substack. 5, and finally, I've posted on, as of the time you're hearing this, I've posted on eBay a special version of the book, the 420th book in our initial series of 666 signed hardcovers. That's right, the 420666 edition. I'll also include a one-of-a-kind canvas painting by my talented daughter of an image from Chapter 10, and I'll include the very first paperback version ever printed, the one where I wrote some of my last edit notes in, and I'll throw in whatever full cast Moon Crew, whatever garbage I can find around the house. You'll just get a box of
hat
shit.
I'll send you.
Sure.
And Spencer will give you a kiss.
Then Spencer will give you a big old smack.
Wet and hairy.
And also,
no, it's okay. You really can't feel his mouth through all that.
And we'll add whatever that eBay number is. We'll add that to the donation, obviously.
I'm going to go to the other Monday night place.
Just it really is a shame that you couldn't find a broad audience for this thing, Jason. I hate to see this for you.
Yeah. Mind you, this is with zero advertisement or publicist budget.
Yeah. Right. Who
just going to see Ryan moving like one of those delivery robots toward the wrong one. No!
So, Ryan, we'll just park you there with a bus, and you can just gather them and all and bring them over, and they'll show up like an hour late, but they'll get there.
Can I have a wagon just like I'm pulling toddlers?
Yeah, that's cool.
We'll do that. Like, yeah, I mean, you're emotionally pulling us toddlers. All the time.
I am the toddler.
Faster,
wait, dad.
Wait. Ryan, will you tell us what your daughter wrote? What your daughter wrote the other day? Will you please?
Sure.
Can you share this? Because it's horrifying.
My daughter's favorite thing to acquire at a store is a notebook. She loves to journal or write stories or whatever. And she.
Wait. How old is this daughter?
She's 7. She's in first grade.
Okay. That's a good age to start collecting blank notebooks. It's never too early.
She has written 4 daily affirmations in her most recent notebook. Number 1, I am strong. Number 2, every journey begins with one step. Number 3, don't ever give up. And number 4, you can't make everybody happy.
I want to say something controversial.
Mm-hmm.
I think 7-year-olds should be trying to make everybody happy.
What about other 7-year-olds?
Oh no, I just meant like not going to school and behaving and coming home and wrecking shit and then when scolded being told I can't make everyone happy. Does that sound like she's too young to be weaponizing therapy words?
Stop placing your emotional burdens on me by expecting me to not wreck shit.
I'm trying to think if I had had daily affirmations when they were 7, when I was 7 rather. How many of them would have been about acquiring a Super Nintendo?
Don't pick that scab.
Or pizza of some sort.
So much blood will come out of it if you pick that scab.
Defeat brother in combat.
Yes.